All right. We'd like to welcome any visitors we got here. Maybe there's somebody I don't recognize out there. But in any case, if you're a visitor, please, there's an envelope in the chair in front of you. It'll have a pen and a form in it. If you'd fill that form out, put it in the basket by the door on the way out, let us know a little bit about yourselves. We sure would appreciate it. And we just love to welcome you here to our Lake Country Bible Church, and just come on back. We love you to have y'all.
First, the announcements. We're kind of back to the normal ones. Prayer meeting every Sunday in the room back here at 9 o'clock in the morning. Women's Bible study will resume Tuesday, July 11th at 6:30. Terry Buckler is leading that. It's a study of the Book of Judges. All women are invited. Wednesday night Bible service study and prayer meeting at 6 o'clock p.m. in the sanctuary right here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace, for your love and your patience with us. We thank you for the gift of everlasting life, for simply believing in your Son. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you've given Lake Country Bible Church. We pray, Father, for Pastor Mike today as he delivers the message. Give him wisdom and guidance in his lesson. And pray, Father, for all of our church, its congregation, members of the church, the visitors, those people attending here and their families. We pray for those people that are victims of human trafficking worldwide, and for the persons that are persecuted for their faith. We pray, Father, for the leadership committee that meets shortly after the service today. We pray your blessings on Lake Country Bible Church and all of its people. We pray, Father, that we are able to reach out to the people in the community and share the gospel message, the Word, the true Word. And we pray, Father, that all people that attend this church know and hear that we are teaching and preaching the Word that you have given us in your Bible, the book that you have given us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is 3 John 1 through 14. 3 John, the entire book. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, given as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of the clarity before the church, whom I, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with the malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear the record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with pen and ink write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak the face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name.
Hello? Ooh. Wake up some sleeping saints with that. Well, look around. The rain washed us out this morning. But thank the Lord for the rain. Y'all remember to pray for Freddie Coyle and the situation that he's facing. Surgery a week from tomorrow. The mass on his brain will be removed, and they will know more what they're dealing with. Freddie's not only a dear friend, I count him a member of my family as a son. We have traveled many a mile together since I met him in 95, and we have had some adventures. We have had some time of fellowship, and I would appreciate your prayers for him very much. Also, the others that we have in our church family, Carol's brother, who deals with a cancerous tumor, in fact, five on his brain. So if you would, pray for them. Thank you for being here. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we come to you this morning, and we are so grateful that you love us with a love that, Father, this side of heaven we're unable to comprehend, and maybe we won't even be able to comprehend it in heaven. Father, you gave your Son. He willingly came, made that sacrifice on the cross, paying for my sin, the sins of the whole world. Father, now is, after resurrection, is now on your right hand, making intercession for us. And Father, this morning, you know, we know that we need your intercession in our lives. We ask that, Father, you would care for us in the gentle, kind, loving way that you always have as we progress in our walk with you, as we look into your word for the truths that you have for us there. We thank you for this time together. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. By the way, as we meet today, Leadership Council, if you would, let's talk about what to do with this creaking floor. People are going to begin to think that it's my bones that are creaking. I was looking at material for this morning during the week, and I ran across this just as a little byline. The question was asked, why are husbands like lawnmowers? You want to know why? Number one, they're hard to start. You have to push them, and they don't work half the time. So I'm thankful that my wife and I recently, she renewed me for another season, another year. I'm thankful for that. By the way, with our reduced attendance this morning, we have a couple of visitors that I had the privilege of visiting with. Hope he's all right. Doesn't bother me. Let the kids scream. I'd rather have a screaming baby than a sleeping saint anytime. But I was talking with her and gave her a little bit of insight into who we are and how we came about and what we believe. And they're here this morning, and because we sort of got washed out, there's about half of us that are gone sleeping in this morning. The rest of us are going to have to love on these two double duty this morning. So if you would, that I would appreciate that. We are looking in the book of 1 John this morning and going to finish up our series on the epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we will be looking at what John has to say to the folks that he wrote to. As we look into this, I want to read something to you from the first epistle of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, John began this series of epistles, three in total, and he was instructing those that he had been with before. He was instructing them on many things. In fact, the book of 1 John, I like to name it the Know, K-N-O-W, book, because the word know is used some 25-plus times in the book of 1 John. He wanted this letter to be read and to be understood, and for the folks that were recipients of this letter to know the things that he wanted to share with them. My favorite verse out of 1 John is verse 13 of chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe, not pay, join, stop, start, contribute, nothing, he says, but believe. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus is his name. Jehovah Yasha in the original, God who saves, God who keeps, and God who defends. That's who our God is. The troubles and the trials of life, the sicknesses come, but we can have faith in knowing that God is in control of all things. He is the one who paid for our sin. He is the one who saves, who keeps, and who defends. And that is what, as we look into this third epistle of John, we'll be looking at. The second epistle of John, 2 John, is an epistle of warning. An epistle of warning. There's many things that come into the life of a church that can cause them to stray in their doctrinal position. I pray that never happens to our church. We want to maintain the position that we have, strongly defend the position that we have in salvation by grace through faith, once saved, always saved. But we find here in the book, as we have looked at the book of 2 John, we have looked at how love is expressed in truth. How love is expressed in truth. John writes in the second epistle that he wrote that love in truth, that's our responsibility. Love people in truth. That means that we care for them, we embrace them, we encourage them, but we do it in truth, in truth. There are things that we as believers get wrapped up in because we are wrapped in this old earthly body. It's a fleshly body. The desires of this old body are fleshly in nature. And we have to, in our walk with the Lord, be careful that we have control of this old earthly body. And in spite of all of the efforts that we have, we fail in most of those. That's the reason we find in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. You see, we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. We need cleansing to go to heaven. Christ gives us that. God gives us that when we believe in Him. And so, as we walk in this old earthly body, in this fleshly body, with its fleshly desires, we need to have a cleansing periodically. That is, and comes about through our confession of sin. You know, as I looked at that, I had an opportunity this week to visit with a man who is a lifelong alcoholic. Lifelong alcoholic. He's probably approaching 60, 62 years old, and I don't think that he has had a completely sober day without the influence and effects of alcohol in his body a day since he was about 14. That has consumed him. It has consumed his family. It has consumed his wife. It has consumed his relationship with friends. It has totally ruined his health. I believe that he's firmly now in the last days of his life here on this earth. He maintains that he trusted Christ as a teenager. I have his testimony to that. Could it be that a man could spend his entire life as an alcoholic without control over his actions, his speech? Is it possible that that man could know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior? Could God forgive him? Cleanse him? Yes, without a doubt. I don't doubt his salvation. But you see, that man has ruined his life, trying to make excuses for it. And I simply told him, call each one of your children. Call them. Ask them, was I a good dad? They'll tell you no. Call your sons. Call your daughters. Ask them, was I a good dad? They'll tell you no. You see, without excuse, we stand before God as believers, and yet we fall in this walk that we have with the Lord. John was concerned about that. He was concerned that our lives would be an expression of the doctrine of Christ lived out through us as we go about our daily lives. That man that has spent the majority of his life in the effects of alcohol, God loves him. God loves him. But he has failed in his walk with the Lord. John was concerned about that. In 2 John, he also was extremely concerned about false teachers. So in 1 John, we looked at and we found that is what I would term an epistle of knowing. He lays out some things that we need to know in our walk with the Lord. 2 John, we find that John was concerned to the same people he wrote 1 John. He wrote again, and he was concerned that they were receiving false teachers. It's the reason we're very careful about who we allow to stand behind this pulpit. We have many men in our church that can stand behind this pulpit and bring to you the Word of God in accuracy and in truth. But that's not always the case. John was concerned that the recipients of his epistles were allowing false teachers. They have crept in. They have been received by these believers that John is writing to. They have been received because the people who were recipients of this letter or these letters, were not cautious. John cautions them in the second epistle of John, 2 John. You see, false teachers are not to be received by those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I've had people come to me and ask, what is the sign of a good, solid, truth-speaking, preaching, practicing church? How can I tell? Well, first of all, I say, well, come visit with us, and then you'll be able to tell. I can guarantee that we will be true to the Word of God. But I will tell them the acid test that I use in listening to any preacher on the radio, on the television, on podcast, on the web, in any way. What I look for is, what do they say is necessary to get to heaven? If they preach and teach salvation by grace through faith, then I will listen to them again. They don't preach that, they're off. I turn them off. I never go back. And you see, we need to be warned about false teachers in the local church. They lead people astray. They give people a false sense of security. They do what I call, they backload the gospel. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith, but if you are saved, then you'll do this, this, and this, and this. I would say to you, that man that I spoke to this week is a prime example of a person who has trusted Christ as their personal Savior, and yet their life has been a waste as far as the cause of Christ is concerned. And John spoke about that, and he warned about listening to false teachers. They're not to be received. They're not to be supported. We went through that not too many years ago. We had missionaries that we were supporting, this church at that time were supporting, that were not on the same page as we are. We need to be careful about that. We need to guard the gospel with a fervor, with singleness of mind and purpose. That's what John was talking about. Morning, we're looking at the book of 3 John. John is writing and he's basically saying, hey, fellow believers, that'd be how we'd say it probably here in East Texas. Hey, fellow believers, you need to walk in the truth of the Word. The truth of the Word. He mentions in the book of 3 John a gentleman by the name of Gaius. Just like I mentioned to you, my friend Freddie, our church friend Freddie, Gaius, he calls him a beloved brother. He mentions a guy by the name of Diotrephes. He loved to have the preeminence. If anybody was going to say a holy sounding prayer, this Diotrephes could do that. He was full of hot air, if you would. He was one who loved to have the limelight. If he wrote a large contribution to the church, he let people know. Had a man not too long ago write us, our church, a nice size check. Never mentioned it. I also know he wrote another big check to Freddie. He never mentioned it. I know that he wrote another big check, huge check, to another church for paving their asphalt parking lot with concrete, air conditioning their gym. Big check. Never mentioned it. You see, Diotrephes was not that kind of a man. He loved to have people, if you would, worship him. There's another man here that we'll be looking at this morning, Demetrius. And he was a good man. In fact, John talked to him, talked about him as having a good report. He was a truthful man. And so as we begin here, let's look in 3 John chapter 1, verse 1. And he says here, the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. This was not a carnal, fleshly kind of love, but he had an undying appreciation of this man, Gaius, the elder, John. He referred to himself as the elder. And I'm writing to my friend, Gaius. Wrote to Freddie this morning. Let him know that I was praying for him, especially for his family, his three kids that are still at home, his one son, oldest son, who is married and serving the Lord in Virginia. They're my family. That's the way John thought of Gaius, the beloved. We find here in verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. John was a praying man. John lifted up his friends and fellow believers in prayer, praying for their physical and material welfare. You know, we need to be conscious of those around us that might be going through difficult periods in their life. I can remember the time when I was in college, working, having a family. I can remember thin, slim times. And I know I'm not the only one. I can remember those. I cringe as I think of those. You know, I had people praying for me. And God moved people. A couple of people who really made a difference in our existence. We had a son who was 3. We had a daughter who was probably 6 months, 8 months. And we were sitting in our little house with no air conditioning. You got to remember, I'm 81 years old, so that's many years ago. It wasn't uncommon. But in our refrigerator, we had all the food that we had. Part of a box of baby cereal and less than a pint of milk. John prayed for his friends. Do we pray for our friends? Those that are members of our church, those that we have ministered to, those that might be going through difficult times. Freddie will be operated on a week from tomorrow. Are you praying for him? I pray that you would, and I would suggest that you would. In fact, I would encourage you that you would. If there's any way that I could make every one of us remember to do that, I would. But we need to pray for Freddie and his family. John prayed for this man, Gaius, that he said he loved in the truth. Verse 3, John says, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. His conduct gave testimony. Gaius' conduct gave testimony to who he was in Christ. And John loved Gaius for that. You see, the first truth is the doctrine and teaching of the apostles. Christ gave his life. They preached that. The book of 1 John begins with that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of Life. All of the proof necessary that the Word of God is true. You see, we're reading this morning and referring to that which John said, hey, I saw that with my own eyes. I saw the miracles that Christ performed. I saw that. I know what I'm talking about. I'm sharing those things with you. We can be just as assured that the things that he wrote are just as true of the folks that received his words. These things are true. John said, I've seen it. I've heard it. I've handled it. I've witnessed all of these things. And I want to share some of them with you. John chapter 1, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Gaius was probably a convert that John led to the Lord. You know, there's a special place in a person's heart when you lead somebody else to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They are a precious part of your life and your ministry. One of the greatest things is for me to meet someone and say, Mike, you remember Ranch? Yeah, how can I forget that? Characters in our house every Monday night. Messing up the kitchen, bathroom, the living room. Nancy had just got through cleaning before they arrived. Looked like a tornado had gone through. Lined up three of them in front of the couch. And on the count of three, they all plopped down. The couch went crack. I remember. Do you remember me? Sort of. You look familiar. A little bit older. You know, I trusted Christ at Ranch. What a blessing that is. A special relationship you have with those that you fed to the Lord. John said, my children. My children. They walk in truth. That thrilled John as he saw the lives of those that he had led to the Lord. Verse 5, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Second blessing, that same individual. What are you doing? Well, I've been a missionary. We have a ranch kid that is a missionary. Been down in Central America and South America for years. Still down there. Wrote me one time, Mike, do you have any ranch song books? You have any? Sure, I sent him some. You know that they're serving the Lord where they're at. That message is being proclaimed still. That's a blessing. That is a real blessing. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. You see, these folks that John had written to and given them the important things in 1 John that he wanted them to know. In 2 John, he warned them against false teachers coming in. And in 3 John, he is writing to these ones. He's saying, my children, these are the things that you need to do, but you need to be cautious. And here he says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. The report of these ones that John had led to the Lord, or this one who, that John had led to the Lord, Gaius, accounts were coming back to John. Boy, John, you ought to really see what's going on. John, Gaius is really serving the Lord. He's taking in traveling preachers and teachers, and he is encouraging them. And he is, and this the litany of things that Gaius was doing, and John was blessed because of that. Thou doest faithfully. John commends Gaius for having received and entertained the true teachers of the word. Second John, John had warned about receiving false teachers. Don't do that. In Third John, he encourages the believers to receive and to support true believers in Christ. Verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after godly sort, thou shalt do well. These people were talking about this recipient of 3 John, this one who was doing well, serving the Lord. In verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. In other words, they were there as missionaries. They didn't ask those that they were ministering to support them. John is encouraging the recipients of this letter to be sure and care for those who were solid, good, sound teachers of the Word of God and make sure that they had what they needed. Not an overabundance, but what they needed. Verse 7, he goes on to say, or verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Bring in good teachers into the local church. Verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Don't look for support from those that you're ministering to. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such, that's sound teachers, receive such that might be fellow helpers to the truth. Listen, folks, we have a lost and dying world outside those two front doors. A lost and dying world. That's an overwhelming task that I believe God would have us minister to. But that's a monumental task. How can the folks we have here this morning put any kind of positive thing, being as small as we are, or even if we had a good attendance this morning like we did last Sunday or Sunday before, how do you approach that? You do what you can do where you're at with what you've got. That is what is necessary for us to remember. We ought therefore to receive these ones, to help them along their way, if they're sound biblical teachers of the truth and proclaimers of the freeness of the gift of God, eternal life. He speaks of this one, Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence. He was a blowhard. He wouldn't get up and give a testimony. He would give a bragamo. I've known a lot of folks like that, a lot of men, some women. That's not honoring to the Lord. We find here that the missionaries of the early church were itinerant. They didn't have an RV. They didn't have, my goodness, we had 7 pup tents during our vacation Bible school. They didn't even have tents. They depended upon believers in the local church. And John was encouraging the recipients of this letter to help these folks out. They went from place to place, not in their Mercedes-Benz, not in their chauffeur-driven limousine with stained glass windows. They walked from place to place. You see, they had local inns, but they were awful places. They were wretched places. They were filthy places. And these people who were proclaiming the Word of God and the freeness of salvation, John was saying they need a good clean place, a clean bed to lay their heads in. Maybe a good meal of some scrambled eggs. And we were in Memphis a couple of weeks ago for the Memphis Quartet show. You see, my wife and I, we like quartet music. Not all of it is biblical. Let me say this. I want to do that. First off, a lot of misled folks driving these big buses and singing their songs and leaving with the cash in their pockets. We heard about probably about 60 or 70 quartets during the week. We enjoyed that. And one of the songs was, "I Want Bacon in My Beans." These itinerant missionaries wanted a good food, a meal. They needed that, and John is writing and saying, you ought to help where you can. This friend of John's, Gaius, he entertained these ones. He opened his house. And then John congratulated him for it. Gaius didn't do that for John's recognition. He did it because of his love for the Lord and also love of the lost. But Diotrephes, he would jump on Gaius. He would jump on others. And he would belittle them. He would discourage them. He would cast doubt upon their willingness. Gaius opened his house, gave them some beans with bacon, encouraged them, had prayer. Diotrephes, he was against this. He didn't want to help anybody if he wasn't in the limelight. And then he only did it in a minimal way, I'm sure. As we look at this, we find 5 things that Diotrephes did, or what he was guilty of. Number one, he always wanted to occupy the leading place. The leading place. He actually refused to receive John. John mentions this. He made malicious statements against the apostles. He refused to entertain the missionaries. He probably did that because he wanted to do the teaching. And those who did entertain the missionaries and give them some beans with bacon and a clean bed to sleep in, he cast them out of the church. He voted to cast them out of the church. In fact, he made the motion to cast them out of the church. We might refer to Diotrephes as the dictator. In the book of 3 John, in verse 9, we read, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among him, received us not." 1 John, John said, "I want you to know, I've seen these things, I've testified these things, I've heard these things, I have handled these things, I know these things are true." 2 John, he said, "Be careful of those that would come into your church under false pretenses. Be careful of the false teachers. And 3 John, he gets down to bare metal. He's calling names. Diotrephes was one of them. He said, I write unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, receiveth us not. John chapter 3 John chapter 1 verse 10, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, but casteth them out of the church. That's who Diotrephes was. What a contrast between he and Gaius. What a contrast. Verse 11, John writes, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Gaius, dear friend of John, but another man by the name of Demetrius was also a servant. Maybe John didn't lead him to the Lord. Maybe their relationship, Demetrius and John, was not as close as Gaius and John's. But John is saying, Demetrius, he hath a good report. And of the truth itself, yes, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Only one verse about this man, Demetrius. But it gives us an insight into the Christian character of this man. We can't identify him for sure, but he was faithful in his witness. He was true in his proclamation. You see, Christianity was on trial during this first century of the church. John, some other apostles, probably alive during this period of time, but they were getting old. Like myself and some other guys in the church, getting old. And soon they'd pass from the scene. I remember very well when our dear friend, he's like a daddy, a good buddy, Dr. Stanford, Ray Stanford, what a nut he could be. What a teacher he was. What a worker he was. And I can remember how I felt as I saw him go into the 80s, which I am in now, and into the 90s, and I saw his body begin to deteriorate because of cancer. I remember my feelings. I remember my dislike of the condition that he was in. I knew and realized that someday the Lord was going to call him home. Talked to him one day, and this man led literally thousands, and I mean thousands of people to the Lord, faithful in his witness. What a gift God gave him in being able to witness. And he did it, and he did it well. But I can remember, we were talking one day as he was actually dying. Nancy and I had the privilege of being there in his home when he passed. I was by his bedside holding his hand. But a couple of months before that, we were there visiting. And he said, Mike, have you ever thought about dying? I said, yeah, Ray, I thought about dying. I said, have you thought about dying? He said, I do. I think about dying. He said, I know where I'm going when I die. But he said, I've never died before. Think about that. How do you feel about that? He said, I've never died before. And I was there when holding his hand when he passed from this life into heaven. It was peaceful. I shut his eyes, told him, I said, it's time for you to go see Jesus. He closed his eyes. He died. Demetrius was sort of the same thing. He had a good report of all men. He had a good report as far as his grasp and proclamation of truth. And John said, I'm on your side, basically is what he said. Demetrius, I'm on your side. I hear you do good work. Keep it up. Basically what he said to Demetrius. Only one verse of a man who was faithful in his life, in his walk for the Lord. Faithful and clear in his message of salvation by grace through faith. In this little few verses, we have three men mentioned. Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. Gaius and Demetrius have rewards. Diotrephes, not so much. Not so much. Third John is a practical book. You say, and I've mentioned before, people who have belittled our church, belittled individuals, belittled me. And I've called them out about it. I've called them out about it. I've had people say, Mike, you shouldn't do that. John did. John did. We ought to be able to have somebody who comes to us and represents himself as a believer, as a teacher. We ought to have the right to quiz them. We ought to have the right, if they hang on, false teachers, and they hang on, ought to have the right to call them out. We ought to be careful. You say, Mike, that's pretty stern. No, that's the truth. What John wrote, and he goes on to say in verse 13, I had many things to write, but I'll not write with ink and pen. I want to see you. That's what John said. I want to see you. Verse 14, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. You know, this week and last week and the week before, I keep bringing Freddie up. But you see, he's my friend. We've traveled many miles together. Pray for him. I told him today that I was praying for him and his family. And I'm going to write to him. But I'd rather be there. You pray for Freddie. For Janet. For Josiah and Anita, his wife. For Bethany. For Benjamin. And for Eden. They have no answers except there's a mess. It's got to come out. Pray for him. you do, you're one of my special friends. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We thank you, Father, for the revelation, book by book, verse by verse, that we see in these three epistles. Father, may we, as your children, who desire to hear and to see a clear gospel by others, Father, may we benefit from the instruction that we receive here. And Father, may we, as we see those who are faithful in their walk with you, claim a clear, understandable gospel that are what they should be in their walk with you, we pray, Father, that we might take them into our embrace, if you would, and meet with them and encourage them and help them in their walk and their ministry with you. Thank you so much for grace. Thank you so much for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you so much for our free gift of eternal life. Thank you so much for your indwelling Holy Spirit who leads, guides, teaches, and corrects. Thank you for Christ, who even now makes intercession for us. And Father, we do thank you for your word that you've preserved it for us down through the years. Bless this group that are here this morning. Bless them extra special good. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.